No matter the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So just talking still about the incarnation. The word incarnation means to give form to something. So it's to make it visible, to make it traceable, tangible. And so when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, God, who had no one had ever seen, was given form in the life that Jesus lived, was fleshed out in the life that Jesus lived. These famous scriptures in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. Darkness does not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. I was just in praying this morning and just spending time in the Word again during the Christmas season, just hanging out. I asked the Lord to speak to me in fresh ways about incarnation, because Christianity is intended to be incarnational. We're to give form. Christ-likeness is not an imitation, it's a manifestation. We're to give form to Jesus, to make him tangible, to represent him, not just represent him. Most Christians think that Christianity is representing Jesus, but it's representing Jesus, and there's a huge difference. But I love what it says in verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now you would think grammatically, because God's pretty good at grammar, Holy Spirit is, since he created all grammar. You'd think he would have said, in him was life, and his life was the light of men. But it didn't say that. It says, in him was life, and the life, was the light of men. Probably the most famous scripture in all the Bible is John 3:16, the football verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will no longer perish. The word there is ruinous. We no longer have a ruinous life. We no longer perish, but have eternal life. And the word eternal just comes from the word that means age. That's all it means, is age. In Hebrews 6, it says this, we have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. So when Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he's talking about the age to come kind of life. The age to come what? The age to come in the kingdom of heaven when there's no fallen earth. The life as it is in heaven, the life it's lived in the kingdom of heaven. The heaven kind of life. And so when Christ talks about that you might have eternal life, he's talking about that you might have the very life of heaven, the life like that God lives. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, what was from the beginning, and what we beheld, and what we heard, what our eyes have seen, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, and the life, he uses the term the life, was manifested. We have seen, bear witness, and proclaim to you the eternal life. Again, he uses the word, the article, the eternal life. He didn't say we proclaim to you eternal life or the message of eternal life. He said we proclaim to you the eternal life. And then John chapter 5, verse 11 says, the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life. God has given us age to come life. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to experience the life of heaven. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who to believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have the age to come life, eternal life. So you think about the Christmas crash and that child in the manger, that child, that humanity had human emotions, human will, human mind, but that humanity clothed eternal life, the life, clothed the life of God. That's why Jesus said it was the Father who did the works through him. Because remember, Jesus said about him in 1 Corinthians 15 that he was the second man. The first man and woman messed it up. So Jesus came as the second man and get it right. And that's why we say he sanctified humanity. He raised humanity back to its nobility. Because we were created to contain life and life more abundant. We were created to contain the age to come life, heavenly life that resides in a person. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Eternal life for us is our experience of the age to come life in the person of Jesus because of our union with him that will last forever. When we go to heaven, quote, when we finish the journey into heaven that we've already started, when we totally cross over the veil, there won't be any restrictions by this body that we have that doesn't always steward the age to come life very well. But I tell you, here's the interesting thing. Just because we have this body doesn't mean that the law of sin that lives in this body has to rule. I'm doing an entire 10-week conference in a 10-minute thing here. Or 10-year conference, maybe. It says, however, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So the age to come life that's in Christ, that dwells, that's clothed in my humanity, is more powerful than the law of sin that lives in this body. Because of how powerful it is, how supernatural it is. So incarnation meant that this little baby with a mind, emotions, and will clothed age to come life in the person of the Holy Spirit. My new birth means that I've now become an incarnational expression that this body, this mind, emotions, and will, this personality now clothes the life, age to come life. And he refers to it as the powers of the age to come. Just think how powerful life is in heaven. That's resonant in us. So it's, that word is not meant to go, oh my gosh, I just feel so like I've underachieved. It's meant to encourage us that we can anticipate and have hope that we don't have to settle for. The only way we can make him give form to him is not by trying to be like him, but to allow the age to come life that lives in me, the life that lives in me to shine. And when it does, darkness in me or darkness out there cannot overcome it. This is a little quote from one of my spiritual fathers from an era past. He It says he comes to make his ability the measure of our capacity. I like that. He comes to live in us to make his ability the measure of our capacity. Until every want of ours has its provision in him, every contingency is anticipated by his fullness of wisdom and power and grace, and every danger, therefore, is put to flight. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I tell people all the time, being a bishop sometimes can be a pain. But it's the pain he's big enough for. But just being a Christian is the most amazing thing in the history of the world. Amen? You carry in you the age to come life right now. Because of your union with Christ. That's stunning. Guess what that does to us? There's nothing we'll face he's not big enough for. Guess what else it does to us? It eliminates all excuses.